This is Rezamir.
This is Tuano Fan, and this is the Teacher Avenue Pod. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Teacher Avenue Pod. This is our summer break episode. We're in the middle of summer. We had a few weeks off of a hiatus, but we're so glad to be back and with you guys and talking to you guys in this new episode. In this episode, we're going to talk about things we've been doing, some things we'd like to do differently for the upcoming school year. Because a whole new school year is coming up in just a few weeks.
Already, yeah.
Yep, yeah, it's happening. And we only have a couple weeks of break left. So we wanted to talk about things that are exciting. A lot of changes happening in the upcoming school year. We got some fun recommendations for you guys. So again, thank you so much for tuning in. As always, you could follow us and reach us anywhere you find podcasts. You can email us at teacheravenuepod@gmail.com with any recommendations or inquiries or questions. And just thank you so much for supporting us and being along this journey so far. If you're still with us, we really, really appreciate you guys.
Yeah. So let's kind of catch up, Mir. I mean, it's been a while since you've, and I mean, I think I've seen you here and there the other, you know, sometimes, but like officially catching up, how's our summer been going?
It has been mellow, my friend. Yeah, I know a few of our colleagues, especially yourself, have been busy with summer school.
And yeah.
Machine, this is your first time doing it. Mm-hmm. How do you feel coming out at the end of it?
To be honest, pretty drained, actually. I'm not gonna do what I did again this year. I taught both, so there's two summer school sessions, and I decided to do both sessions back to back this summer, and so I literally had no breaks and school ended, and so it's just ended. But I think in the future, if I were to do summer school again, I would just probably do one session, that'd be it, and I'd definitely give myself a break. But yeah, I mean, I think we have a couple weeks left, so hopefully not doing do too much, kind of just rest up a little bit before the school year starts.
I hope you get to relax and rest a little bit these few weeks, a little bit here and there, hopefully. I know the summer school schedule, it's like just a longer extension, except you get off at 12 o'clock, right?
It's like a half day in a sense. Yeah, but how about you? What have you been doing?
It's been pretty mellow. All I did was I had a really nice wedding that I went up to in San Jose at a cousin who was getting married, actually a teacher cousin.
Oh, nice.
One of the few people who have followed in the education footsteps in the family. There's not very few teachers in our family, but she is really, really great. She's super cool. And her name's Gila. Shout out to Gila.
Congratulations. Elementary or what grade level?
She started at elementary, and now she worked her way up to teaching at a community college level.
So
she's
a
professor now. She got her PhD. I believe her emphasis and specialty is child development, but she might be teaching other types of classes too. But she's up there in San Jose. Super proud of her. Congrats to her and her husband. But the wedding was phenomenal. It was in their house that they remodeled. Took 4 years, and it was just like this kind of crazy palatial, beautiful place. And NorCal is just a whole different world. It's a calm, chill vibe up there. I like it. It's nice.
Speaking of, but I feel this feels like it's wedding season right now. Everyone's like, you know, coming from the pandemic, everyone's taking this chance to get married. And actually in August, late August, I had to take a few days off because I had to fly one week into Seattle for my cousin's wedding. And then the weekend right after, I have to take a couple of days off to go to Virginia or up near New York for another wedding.
These are our first post COVID weddings that we're going. I think that this is definitely the first wedding since COVID started. Do you feel like it's a different dynamic? Do you feel it's different? I definitely had a few attendees with masks on.
I feel like it's just
on the dance floor.
Post COVID world, I think everyone's being a little more careful. I had a wedding a couple months ago, actually.
I'm glad to see people back out again for sure. It's, you know, cases are starting to go down here in Los Angeles. As far as we know, there's no like mandate or anything that they're talking about coming up for the upcoming school year.
Mm-hmm.
Way once upon a time ago, they talked about vaccine mandates for the upcoming fall school year, but they've dropped those talks as well.
Mm-hmm.
The
monkeypox thing now, like, have you ever been hearing about that?
Monkeypox, yes. On Twitter, if you're on Twitter, it kind of sounds like the end of the world is happening imminently, and you kind of have to take a breather away from Twitter and realize that you have to read up on the virus a little more. It is out there, and it is things that are on the rise. It seems to be something from contact.
Close contact. In terms of I think something with the droplets from the person with the virus or something, just in terms of moisture droplets, something like that.
Well, if you didn't have enough of first pandemic, there's always second pandemic.
Yeah, there's always something.
It's always something. We'll see with the story with that, how that holds up. But I'm trying to put that in the back burner. I'm trying to not think about that until shit hits the fan. Most Americans do, sadly. Other than that, my summer has been pretty mellow. I've been catching up on the news, reading some books, watching some movies, but mostly thinking about what we're going to be doing this coming year. More than most years,
lots of changes.
I thought this past year broke me, Tuan. I thought it broke.
I think it broke everyone, man.
I think it broke everybody, but in a weird way. Once you're broken,
it's how you get back and pick up the pieces,
Yes, the fires will forge your pieces back into something even stronger. And I do think that we can get quite a bit done this year. There's a lot of changes happening. Let's maybe knock off some of these changes that are happening. You and I both got new schedules.
Yeah, what are you teaching tentatively next year?
So I have three sections. I got U.S. history and public health, which is part of the one of our
academies,
which is emphasis on pre-med. Okay. Historically, I've had good experience with this class. They're good students. It's an honors class, so that should be interesting. And a U.S. history through film class through our film academy, which I'm excited about. And we have a section of the school called a learning center. We have a learning center. I'm assuming most high schools have one of these things. Maybe they call it something else.
Like a tutorial thing or an extra help or
it's an extra help class. Students who maybe have repeated or need extra help.
Or I think special education students, I believe, as well.
For special ed. Yeah. I'll be overseeing one period of that. So I'm kind of excited. I have second period prep. Fifth period prep was right after lunch. And so I do get a little bit of an extended lunch, which is nice. But what about you? What's your schedule? You have a full year. In your first time in, is it your sixth year now?
Yeah, coming to my sixth year. So tentatively, I have, I'm excited for one ethnic studies class and the other class, I believe I'm teaching government for both semesters. But the big thing is I'm not teaching anymore after that because four of my periods are dedicated towards this new position I have at school. And we've talked with one of our guests, Manuel Sandoval, many episodes back.
In the past, maybe might pop in the future. Just tune. That's to stay tuned for the future episode.
Yeah, so a lot of changes. He got a new position as our. We don't really call them deans anymore. That we call them the intervention specialists, where they kind of deal with discipline and things like that related to behavioral issues with students on campus. So he got that position. So I actually took his position for this coming year as the new equity coordinator at our school site within their district. And so there's site specific coordinators and a lot of people. I think we talked about they kind of laugh when I tell people, some people laugh, when I tell what is this equity coordinator position, and they're they kind of joke about it. Cause in terms of equity, that's a big thing. It's kind of embedded in equities.
It's a new, very new thing. That's, something that you'd arguably should have always been around, but
yeah.
What are you going to dedicate a lot of your chunk of your time working towards, you think?
It's not always what people think. It is kind of just in dealing explicitly with racism always in the classroom. It's more of in terms of equity, in terms of getting resources allocated properly to students and staff, making sure that everyone has everything they need to kind of thrive, not just academically, emotionally, psychologically, all those things. So dealing with that, dealing with kind of practices, in the curriculum, grading practices, are we being equitable in terms of grading? Are we being equitable in terms of disciplinary actions against students as well? So I'm going to be working with a lot of different people on campus, next year. I'll have a lot of different ideas and kind of just overseeing this idea. So we're a very progressive district. Thankfully we're moving in the right direction.
Very lucky. Yeah.
With equity as well. So I'm glad to kind of be stepping to this new role, but I'm excited.
That is cool. I mean, don't let anyone, you know, make fun of it. That's kind of crazy that somebody would scoff at that, but I'm sure some people out there might roll their eyes at something, but it's absolutely essential. You know, it's key. I'm curious how, what your duties are going to be and some of the cool events that you'll come up with. And yeah, it's not just all about race and things like that. And it's not to single out anybody.
And, one thing is we might be sharing a room because I lost my room. So I had to pack up all my things this year. So
logistically, for the people out there who don't know, so you're going to be teaching the first two periods of the day.
Yeah.
Each day. And then the rest of the day, you're off to central hub of our campus.
Yeah. You have meetings. And, you know, it's a lot more administrative stuff now.
Yeah. So this is going to be kind of a reprieve, a little break from the classroom for you, which may be nice and focus. You'll have more energy. You'll focus your energy on other things. You'll learn some of the behind the scenes stuff of some of the, maybe some bureaucracy or red tape that goes on behind the scenes. Maybe you'll get to cut some of that or see through some of that. That mm-hmm. sounds really interesting, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, besides those things, we have a lot of staffing changes as well next year. We have like just rebranding of our school in terms of like who's running the school and like the people in charge of different things. So we have like a lot of new blood, I think, which is exciting.
We lost a principal, got a new principal. We got like a couple of new staff members coming in to our department. I'm sure other departments have multiple people coming in. People are just, it's like a revolving door almost in administration with people coming and going. And it's really fascinating. And when I drove by the school the other day, I was taken aback that the entire field, the football field, the baseball field, soccer field is completely destroyed and demolished. And there's like tractors and everything like picking up dirt, and they're started construction on this brand new gymnasium that we're going to get, brand new athletics department. And it should be really cool when that's done. I'm not sure when that'll be, but I'm super excited about that.
Yeah. So just lots of changes, which isn't always bad. But you know, this is different, so we'll see.
I'm still going to be doing quite a bit of work with our academies. I'm still going to be in that leadership position. So that's after school meetings. It's long-term goals that we kind of set in the beginning of the year. We have to meet at the end of the year. All these little extra things, teachers out there, that you can jump on and grab onto, do it mm-hmm. as much as you can, get involved. So we always say, and it just makes for a much more enriching experience.
For sure.
In the classroom itself, what are some takeaways? What are some things we want to do differently? What are you thinking, Tuan, for any teacher habits or programs, things you want to implement or try, or things that you thought last year you did really well, you want to continue?
I guess just off the top of my head, like top three things I'd probably try to do differently this year is not be so much of a workaholic. I feel like I'm always responding to emails right away and kind of not taking really pause or break for myself. So I think having more balance instead of a work-life balance for me is important. And that's one thing. Another thing would be having more reflection, reflective assignments and reflection time for my students after each of their summative assessments. Because I figured this out more recently in terms of my practice is that students learn more when they're reflecting than we're in the moment, because always having time for them to share out what they know and teaching their partners is actually that processing of information is when they learn, not just in the moment of learning. It's when they process that learning is when they actually learn something. So that's something I think about coming in. And last thing would probably just be more interactive activities and trips outside the classroom if it's possible. So trying to get the students out of the classroom and seeing how learning applies in the real world. But those are my top three. What about you?
No, that's really good. I think last year, I actually, for one of the first times, I put a lot of time aside for feedback. Mm-hmm. Feedback is so essential after those assessments.
Right.
Go over every question on the test. Go over the test, even if everyone's glazed eye, like looking at you, like, you know, even if they all bombed it, whatever, go over it.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll reabsorb into their minds. I think it's really, really useful. Feedback now on Google Docs. I pushed everything for digital. if you're out there, teachers, and you don't want to use physical notebooks, make them, have them create digital notebooks. I do that beginning of the year, every year. Use Google Docs, and you can just straight put the feedback right into the Google Doc for them to see for any document that they do. And I try to do that. So feedback would be key. I need some sort of new note-taking strategy because we went digital and we use Google Slides. I have them take notes in the summary notes on the bottom of the Google Slides, but sometimes they don't do it. And I'm trying to think about like going back to handwriting notes. So maybe giving students an option for a physical or digital notebook.
Mm-hmm.
Still want to figure out a note-taking, some sort of, you know, method where they're just writing with their hands. I mean, it could be the end of the week where they do some sort of formative assessment at the end of the week, where it's a paragraph response. I want to do much more of those because the juniors that I'm getting in, you know, they lost half of eighth grade and all of freshman year. Their foundation,
academics, yeah.
Their foundation is so wobbly, you know. And I think last year was like their really first year going, and last year was kind of a wash in a lot of ways. So this is their first true year and their most important year of high school. And I think their writing is going to be rough in the beginning. So I want to work on that.
Yeah, no, I think writing is an important skill for life, like not just for college, but just in life, like writing emails or anything, just conversationally as well. So I think that's important. But that's cool.
After nearly a decade, I literally walked into a library and renewed my library card this summer. And I want to take advantage of that for my film class. There's great services like Canopy and Hoopla, which are free film streaming services, or you can download audiobooks, you can download movies and stuff for free if you have a library card. And teachers out there, I don't know if I mentioned this maybe on the last episode, but you can get a teacher card. A special teacher library card, and you can take up to 50 books at a time. This is for the Los Angeles Public Library. You can take out up to 50 books and you can have them for up to like months at a time. So I checked out Dune, and normally you would get like 3 weeks, and this guy gave me all the way to October.
Wow.
So check it out. Go to the library, go old school. And get that Canopy for your, if anyone has a film class out there, because I super recommend that. And I want to push more field trips. I want to go on more field trips. I sent an email out to the Skirball Center in Los Angeles. They do these summer concert series.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a performing arts center at our school. We have these great music students as well, commercial music program. And there was like a concert that had Latinx musicians in band in like a kind of a rockabilly rock and roll band. And I just thought like that is so up some of our students' alleys. It'd be so cool to go on a field trip and see those. So I sent out an email to their education department to see if anyone's out there. Maybe we can start build a relationship with them to see some shows, but I haven't heard back yet. Stay tuned for the future for that. But just more of those. There's Academy Museum in Los Angeles that our film students would love to go to.
Mm-hmm.
Which have, you know, some great film exhibits, movie exhibits, and things like that. So those are all things that I want to so badly get done.
Yeah. And, quick question.
Hopefully not burn out in the process.
Yeah. Quick question. When you went to the library, was it a good amount of people there? Where I feel like nobody goes.
There were people
anymore.
There.
There were people. Yeah. Okay. It was kids, adults, a good mix of everybody.
Mostly adults. Okay. Some people were there, I think, just to lounge. Honestly, most people there were just lounging.
Yeah, like in the summer, people just have to find somewhere cool to hang out.
It was a hot day, so some people were just kind of napping.
Okay.
But no, there were people. Yeah, it was somewhat busy. So that got me excited. But it was an easy, it wasn't busy enough. It was an easy check-in, easy check-out.
Okay.
Yeah, totally recommend it.
Yeah, I was trying to think about doing a field trip last year to the Museum of Tolerance when I was teaching World War II, but things didn't work out in terms of paperwork. And just, yeah. So hopefully in the future, yeah, definitely more field trips, I think, for everybody. But
Yeah, man, it's going to be a fun school year. I'm actually, we were talking about forging earlier, our broken pieces. This is one of the first times where I'm going in earlier than usual. I'm going on my Canvas pages now. I'm like starting to edit them now and like start thinking about because last year was so hard, it was so tough. I want this year to be smoother. Thankfully, I'm teaching the same classes. You are too, I believe. You know, classes you're familiar with. So we,
right.
At this point in time, we kind of know the deal. You know, we know what to expect. Of course, that first week is always, you just don't know with your students. It's always the students that are a little bit of a gamble, personality wise. But I think we know our roles, and think it'll be fun. Now that we're kind of sharing a room, should be interesting. Those mornings should be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Who's gonna get coffee? That's the question.
I'm not a coffee drinker, so
coffee run.
You're gonna have to go solo on that one.
Awesome. Damn.
But anything else you want to, like, things you're excited for this coming year, or anything else you're looking forward to?
I'm excited for some of the admin changes, just to see what new leadership looks like, how some things will be communicated or streamlined. Fresh blood was always needed. Young fresh blood, and I'm excited to get back into the grind. Summer, things get so ground to a halt during the summer sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I need to get back into rhythm, get back into motion.
For sure.
Stay tuned though. Of course, way more episodes to come once work starts. We'll have a lot of stories to tell you guys about all the new changes and all the fun stuff there we're going to be coming through. So if you have any recommendations for us in the future, email us teacheravenuepod@gmail.com.
Moving away from that scope, things happening in the world, let's kind of catch up a little bit with current events, and let's just, you know, have a conversation around that. So
a lot going on.
Yeah, so I mean, just things that have been going on, that are still going on. That's like the war in Ukraine still going on, right? We have the Roe v. Wade controversy, overturning that, and then, you know, people, politicians getting arrested for protesting that in front of the Supreme Court. Just a lot politically, economically, inflation of the economy. There's just so many things. It's easy to get overwhelmed, I think. But that's why kind of people tune out the news nowadays, and people don't avoid watching this, their news from like social media. It's an interesting time.
All things that I predict I'll be talking about in a few weeks' time. You know, I'm going to have students, I always do, who ask questions about it.
Yeah.
What's going on? Mr. Mir, why is the world on fire? And I will have to explain, you know, where the fire started. why it's burning. And it's always an interesting conversation. We're kind of balancing all these plates, spinning, because there's so much going on. And it feels like the country is getting more and more divided every day that we move forward.
Yeah.
That scares me. You look at the divisions in our Congress and against the Senate and the House
and
these past couple of days where the Senate blocked a bill, you know, to pay for veterans care. This was something that was championed by John Stewart, and he gave a passionate speech about it. It's called the PACT Act. 41 Republican senators voted against honoring the PACT Act. Mm. And they're doing it because they say that it would permit $400 billion in spending unrelated to the veterans' health care. But that's just simply not true. This money goes towards treatment for exposure to toxic things in the environment when they were in the war in Iraq.
Mm.
People have gotten cancer and multiple different things, bad health responses to this. So this is just money that's supposed to go to veterans, people who have sacrificed their lives.
Do you know
if
it goes towards like housing at all? Like, because I think that's a big thing. Like, veterans come home, there, a lot of them end up being homeless.
It's mostly a healthcare treatment.
Healthcare, okay.
Well, yeah, for their medical bills.
Gotcha.
They'll give them testing every once in a while, and you know, they'll pay for their medicines and their treatment for a long time. It's a a fund for them, and it's just so crazy. It's really crazy that one political party would be against voting for veterans. And then on the other side, you have the House passing the assault weapons ban. It's an assault style weapons ban. They passed 217 to 213. This was today.
Wow.
So it barely passed the House. Now it's going to go off to the Senate, which most likely, again, it will be killed. it's just really, really sad to see, especially after all so much gun violence this year alone.
It's depressing for sure. Think about, but you know, always gotta remain hopeful for the future and hope things change for the better slowly, if not overnight.
I think all of these major stories coming out of the Supreme Court has lit a fuse under a lot of progressives, lit a fuse under Democrats, under people that have kind of been on the fence. And now I think, my prediction is that the midterm turnout will be pretty big. It'll be bigger than what we've seen ever before. I'm confident in that. I think voting numbers are just going to, my prediction is voting trends will just keep going up. More people will be voting by mail is so easy now. Gerrymandering will always be a problem, but I think turnout will be crazy because just how impassioned people have become in the past couple months because of this.
Yeah, hopefully.
Crazy turn of events. That's the silver lining here. And usually, you know, piss enough people off, they're going to want to demand change. And that really the only power we have is in that voting booth.
Mm-hmm.
People just need to go in November. These midterms are more crucial than ever before.
Yeah, for sure. I always tell my students, especially my seniors, my government students, like the importance of voting and how important it is to actually, you know, vote.
Yeah,
regardless of where you live.
Especially.
Yeah.
And the emphasis on midterms should be shouted from the rooftops, just as a general election, because again, you know, voting for our local politicians and fighting for direct democracy. That's what we're all here for, and like that's Congress is really where everything gets done. So without getting control of the House and the Senate, you know, not much can get it done, and we've seen that time and time and time and time again. I remember that from back in the Obama days, back in the George Bush days, back in the Clinton days. You know, it's an American issue. So hopefully we'll see some change in the fall.
Yeah, just the whole note of the conversation around the idea of the Electoral Congress or Electoral College and you know how those things work and how young people are the lowest group to vote in numbers. And so hopefully these things get better with time. Just, yeah. But it's enough, I guess it's enough talking about that. Let's move on to something lighter and more fun and end off with our recs. So,
During all this maelstrom of bad news, of course, we've had some amazing discoveries out there in the world of science. Science has been it's so exciting following science news lately of everything that's going on.
Right.
Medicine. But the James Webb Telescope for me is like one of the coolest things of recent memory that I can think of. I was like a kid on Christmas morning when these images were coming out of the telescope. This is a telescope that has been, I believe, 20 years in the making. I believe it cost $10 billion, something in the range of that.
Wow.
It is orbiting. It's on a special orbit that orbits around Earth and the sun and taking pictures of the earliest galaxies after the Big Bang. The earliest is 200 something million years after the Big Bang. And just seeing these images and high res and seeing how incredible it is and how expansive the universe is has been awe-inspiring. And those pictures are so beautiful, and that I'm just excited of all the discoveries that it's going to bring out. So there's a cool documentary you can see on YouTube called The Ultimate Space Telescope. It's about a 50-minute video that goes into the telescope itself, how it's done, what discoveries they make. So check that out if you want everything you want to know about the James Webb Telescope, the ultimate space telescope.
And I'm definitely looking forward to the high res pictures from that. Let's see. I guess over the summer there's been a lot of stuff, but you know, aside from the big names like the Stranger Things season and like The Boys, things like that. Little light things I've seen, you know, Sing 2 is actually pretty good. I know it came back a while back, but came out on Netflix. I watched that. Something we saw in movies together was we went to go see The Black Phone, I believe, right, with Ethan Hawke. And that one was
that was
a good one.
That was a cool one. I dug that. Scott Derrickson directed that. I believe he also did the first Doctor Strange film. It was also the writer of the first Doctor Strange film. It was a cool little thriller. You know, Ethan Hawke plays a really chilling villain. It's a kind of a ghost story, and it comes and does what it needs to do, and it gets out in a reasonable time. And I was hooked throughout.
It was great. Yeah, the tension was great. I think it was supposed to be released a while back, but just the pandemic, I pushed back, and
It would be a good exercise and how to build tension. I can't show the whole movie to my students. It might be probably too dark, but
yeah.
If I maybe highlight a couple scenes here and there on just atmosphere and how to kind of build, like get sucked into this kind of world of the 80s. It was a fun movie for as dark as the material was. Like it was pretty entertaining.
It's like a summer of horror. I feel like it's speaking related to The Black Phone, another horror movie that I saw recently over the past week, was Nope with a, you know.
Big shout out to Nope. Yeah. I think you and I both liked it.
Yeah.
Love the title Nope. Some people have referred to an acronym that means not of planet Earth.
Oh, okay. Creative.
Yeah.
It's definitely very sci-fi. It's an alien sci-fi sort of
alien sci-fi. It's a UFO movie, but that's all we can really say.
Yeah.
Not going into spoilers. It's very thematically rich. It's about kind of the history of black artists in America and how
Jordan Peele just has a really good way of directing, and a lot of these movies similar to Us and Get Out, a lot of thematic elements of like black culture in it.
Yeah, people have weirdly recently criticized his stuff as being woke, and I never even take that criticism to heart at all. Like Get Out, this one is about much deeper things. It's not, you know, on the surface. It's about a lot of different things, all kind of wrapped up in this fun sci-fi package. But it's about exploitation. It's about the traumas of being a child actor. It's a sci-fi tale. It's a horror tale. It's got a lot of cool themes.
It's a neat package, I would say. But sure.
Yeah, catch it in IMAX if you guys can, on a huge screen. Some of the sound effects are like truly haunting, and has a lot of tension. Another film I think I would actually love to show my students. I didn't see anything too, you know, grotesque or gross or anything about it that was too off-putting, that maybe some younger students might actually dig this one. So maybe future film class movie, just to dissect a cool, brainy UFO film.
And then you have one last rec before we kind of...
One last thing, actually. I'm not going to mention a couple of these other ones. The last thing I want to mention is a show called The Rehearsal. This is my new favorite show. Everyone should be watching this. It's on HBO Max.
Okay.
It's kind of a reality... I do not want to say it's reality TV, because that's different. And it's not a documentary. It's kind of like what Borat would be, or, you know, whatever Sacha Baron Cohen kind of does, where it's, you know, a person interacting with real people in a real scenario.
I see.
The difference is that the people in the
They're not part of the...
No, the people in the rehearsal, they know they're on a show. They've consented to be on a show. Okay. But here's the premise, Tuan, okay?
Okay.
What if I told you, what if like, let's say you had some sort of a tough situation that you had to get through. Maybe, I guess let's take the first episode, for example. In the first episode, the guy, the main person who's the subject of the episode, has been keeping this has been telling a lie to a friend for quite a while. It's not like a big lie or anything. It's actually really small. But it's been eating this person up inside, and they've been wanting to confess to their longtime friend that the lie is this, is that this guy's friend thinks he went to grad school, but really all he did was finish his bachelor's. But he never like stopped that lie. So he kind of kept going along with it. So his friend thinks he has a master's degree, but he just wants to confess to his friend that he never went to grad school. Okay. That seems like something you would just, it could be easy for some people to confess, but he's like a shy person and he's afraid his friendship would be ruined. Okay. But what if you had the chance to rehearse that moment leading up to that confession. And so this is what the host of the show provides, is a very, very elaborate rehearsal. So what if you can rehearse this real moment? What if you could rehearse it in a fake setting, in a location, over and over and over again? So by the time the real moment comes,
that's an interesting premise.
You're very relaxed. So yeah. This confession was going to take place in a bar. So the host of the show recreates this bar like perfectly to every detail. And this guy goes over the scenario over and over again. And the show is hilarious. It's really funny. Really, really smart. It's brilliant. I dreamed about this show the night after I watched it. Like it was so crazy. It's such a unique thing. Like, I don't even know how to describe it. The second episode is completely different. It's a completely different scenario. But all revolving around this idea of rehearsing. But what if you had a chance to do something over and over again before the real?
And I don't know how they come up with these ideas.
What if you had a chance to rehearse the first day of school, for example, but you had somebody perfectly recreated your classroom, just in a studio somewhere, and hired actors to be your students, and you just walked in and got to repeat that like 15, 20 times ahead of time?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'd want to do that or not. It's interesting.
Like, would it make your first day more comfortable because you know everything you're going to say, or would it even matter? Like,
yeah.
Can you predict what is going to happen? Like, it's such a weird premise, but it's so funny. It's so funny. I highly recommend it. It's called
that's on HBO. We can catch that on
HBO.
Okay. HBO. Got it.
This is going to be your homework. So we have to watch. We got to talk. I need someone else to talk about this show with me. And so you're going to be my guinea pig. So yeah, try to watch the first episode.
All right. Anything else with people?
That's it. No, that's it for me.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think that's going to wrap us up for this episode. Nice and short. Hopefully you learned something about how our summers went, or just any news in the world. But again, more episodes to come, hopefully in the future, soon after we come back.
Thank you, everybody.
And yeah, we hope we see you next time soon. So yeah, take care.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned. Email us at teacheravenuepod@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram @teacheravenuepod.
All right.
See you next time.
Thanks.